Morning at today's Davin Sanhedrin is Nunches. We are Nunzayin Amud Beis. We're going to start from the very top line of the Amud today. Okay, we're talking about Mrs. B'nai Noach. Already back on Nunvav, Amud Aleph, on the very bottom of the Amud, so the Gemara recorded the Braisa, there are seven Mrs. B'nai Noach, there are seven Noachai law. So already, as we know, that is the simple approach. There's more sophistication. There are more opinions in the Gemara in terms of exactly what is included within the Noachai law, the universal law. We learned it out based on Psukim. The Gemara back on Nunvav quoted Psukim already by Brachos, by Perek Beis of Brachos, where the seven Isurim, or really six Isurim and one Mitzvah Esei, are extracted from a Pasuk or by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Adam HaRishon. So as I already mentioned, it could very well be that even though we call them Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, but really they're already given to Adam HaRishon, although that's that subject for debate as well in terms of when historically they were given. Either way, without getting too lost, so we know that there are seven Noachai laws, and so the Gemara spent once the Gemara got onto the topic of discussion, the Gemara now is staying on topic. So, and that's what we're going to be doing for the for today, for all of today, going into tomorrow's daf as well. So we're going to be staying on this topic of Sheva Mitzvos B'nai Noach. So we are spending now time talking about dinim. We're talking about the actual mitzvah that they have to set up a court. I already mentioned before, but I'll mention it again. It's really it's a basic machlokas. Rambam is of the opinion that the purpose of them setting up a court is to judge the other six isurim. So there are six lavim, one mitzvah sesei, six negative prohibitions, one positive commandment. And so the entire purpose of setting up a court is to judge cases of murder, adultery. I say adultery, I mean arayas in general. Blasphemy, idolatry, etc. So that's the the Rambam writes, and it's a big chiddush, but it sounds pretty much like it's coming straight from our Gemara as well. The Rambam writes that if a community were to fail, meaning a Noachai community were to fail to set up a court, so that's punishable by death. Okay, and the Rambam writes, and that's what justified Shimon and Levi killing off the entire city of Shechem because they didn't set up a court. Okay, that's the opinion of the Rambam. The Ramban, on the other hand, notes that the Ramban already told you where to find it in his commentary to Chumash on Parshas Vayishlach Perek Lamed Daled. So the Ramban over there writes, he disagrees. First of all, he disagrees with the idea that it's a capital crime not setting up a court. He says you're not put to death over failure to comply with a positive commandment. We don't have such a thing. And number two, writes the Ramban, is that the purpose of the non-Jew setting up a court is basically to create a civilization, meaning a civilization requires a civil court, and in other words, the whole purpose of a court is to adjudicate all civil matters, loans, etc. Okay, and so it's a basic machlokes between the Rambam and the Rambam. What's the purpose of setting up a court? Okay, with all that stated, now we're in the Gemara and in Zayin Amud Beis, and now we're talking about the actual judicial process. Their requirements to create justice system is going to be different than our requirements. They have a mitzvah of dinim, we have a mitzvah of dinim as well. Theirs is going to look a little bit different than ours, and now we're noting the differences. Ashkach Rav Yaakov Bar Dadavik Sibasefer Agadat Debei Rav. So the Gemara quotes now from something that was found from Agadat Debei Rav, just as a point of interest, right? The homiletics of Rav. This is not homiletics we're talking about right now. We're talking about really, really basic halacha. So it's interesting that's found in the Agadat HaDebei Rav. But anyway, Ben Noach Nehrag B'Dayin Echad. So how is a Ben Noach put to death? Meaning, obviously, he has to violate a crime, he has to commit a crime. But we're talking about right now the judicial system. So first of all, only one judge. We, when judging capital cases, need 23. They only need one judge. Uve Eidecha, they only need one witness. And Shalom Basra, now there does not need to be a warning that's issued. This one's an interesting one. There is a Rashi in the Gemara in Makos. I'll point it out when we get to Makos. It's around Daf Tes. There's a Rashi over there that says that, when the Gemara here says that there's no requirement of Asra, meaning that even if they do it b'shogeg, they're still going to be put to death. That happens to be a big chiddush. But anyway, but they don't... I know. I'll show you the Rashi when we get to Makos. But in the meantime, however, they don't need a warning. Mipi ish velo mipi isha. The judge and the witness has to be men, not women. Ve'afilu karov. The judge could be a relative, meaning for us, we know that's a psul. We already discussed it back in the third parak of Sanhedrin. But for them, it's not a psul. And Mishum Rabbi Shmuel Amr Afala Ubrim. And the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel is that for a non-Jew, for Noachide, it would be a capital crime to abort a fetus. Interesting, for us Jews, it is not a capital crime. It's a crime, meaning abortion is prohibited, but it is not... It does not bring about a capital crime, right? The Parsha Mishpatim talks about how you have to make a compensation. Anyway, for us, it's not a capital crime. Okay, let's just leave it at that, nice and simple. Now, Minani Mili, so you of course noted that there are a number of notable differences between our justice system and their justice system. We need obviously more than one judge. We need obviously more than one witness. Kroven for us is going to be possible. Okay, a lot of differences that exist between us and them. Where's the source of this? So we're looking at the pasuk in Parshas Noach, and the Gemara now is going to expound this pasuk. So edrosh means I will seek justice. It's in the lashon yachid. So that means even one judge. Miad kol chaya afilu shel basra. Miad kol chaya comes to include even if there was no warning that's issued, still there's going to be a capital punishment. Edroshenu umiyad ha'adam afilu be'edechad. And again, edroshenu is in the singular, and it means even if one witness is testifying. And miyad ish v'lo miyad isha, the man has to be the one adjudicating or testifying, not a woman. And achiv afilu karov. And it could be a brother, meaning that even a brother is allowed to serve as a judge. And then, mishum Rabbi Shmuel amraf ala ubrim, my time to Rabbi Shmuel. Now, Rabbi Shmuel includes over here that part of the category of murder includes even aborting a fetus for a noachide. D'yachsir shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam damo yishafech. So the pasuk, which doesn't translate so well, when you spill the blood of a man in a man, damo yishafech, so his blood's going to be spilled. Meaning the simplest way to read the pasuk is that it's talking about murder. But now the Gemara here is darshaning ha'adam ba'adam, ezu adam shu ba'adam. What are we talking about when we say a human inside another human? So aviyam rezeu b'shememe imo. It's a fetus inside its mother. Okay, so... So that's the price of a Tanakama, Tan de Bemanashu, Dama Komisa, Amur Livne Noach, Eno Elachenek. Now, as far as the Tanakama is concerned, of this price that we just learned together, so aborting a fetus for a Noachite is not a capital crime. What are they going to do with the Pasuk of Ha'adam Ba'adam? That is coming to teach a different point, which is how are they put to death? Now, we already know, we've seen this a couple of times, the way that a Noachite is put to death is through Saif. It happens to be that Tana de Be'Menashe disagrees with that point. He says that the way that a Noachite is put to death, violating one of the Shev Mitzvahs B'nei Noach, is through Chenek strangulation. How does he know that? Shadilei Hai Ba'adam Asif Dekra. Because he takes the words Ba'adam and he applies it to the end of the Pasuk, meaning V'drosh Be Hachi. This is how he reads the Pasuk. Ba'adam Damo Yishafech. That a person will be killed with his blood still in him. Meaning, what kind of execution has it that the person is going to die, but his blood still remains inside of him? So, that's referring to strangulation. Okay, period. Okay, so, in this brisa, what we just learned together are a number of basic differences that exist between us and the Noachites regarding how they put together a court case, a court, one judge, you only need one judge, one witness, no warning. You can even have relatives presiding, but it has to be that the judge and the witness have to be men, not women. Okay. Meis of Rabbanu Navisha la mifkada vaksiv ki dativ la manashir tzaveh. So and the pasuk goes on to say es beso, meaning that we know that one of the promises that were made to Avram Avinu is that his children are going to his progeny. Are going to be involved in the justice system, and even beso, and even the women. Beso is usually a reference to women. So most of lavu mevarikla banav ledim beso litzdaka. So the Gemara says no. It means that the sons are going to be the ones in charge of the justice system. Meaning the progeny of Avram Avinu are going to be part of the judicial process. As far as the women are concerned, so they're involved in tzedakah. Now tzedakah over here could just simply mean charity, but tzedakah also could mean over here pshara. Meaning that, it's interesting, if you want to go to some sort of mediation, arbitration, so that could be a woman. But if we're going to be justice, if it's going to be din, so it has to be a man. Okay, anyway. Amar le Rav Aviyasav le Rav Papa, Ema bas Noach shaharga lo teharag miyadish v'lo miyadish aksiv. So the Gemara makes a suggestion. It's just a suggestion. It's a havamin. Admittedly, it's really hard to understand. Maybe by virtue of the fact that the Torah says miyad ish, maybe it would only be a criminal act if done by a man. But if a woman perpetrated, a Noachide woman perpetrated a criminal act, maybe she's not going to be executed. So Amalei hachem Rav Yehuda shovech dam ha'adam mikol makom. No, the word ha'adam is humanity. meaning that everyone, men and women, are going to be subject to being punished in the event that they violate a crime. Again, the Gemara also makes another suggestion, also really difficult to understand, even as a suggestion. And that is maybe if a woman committed adultery, she shouldn't be put to death because the Torah says, Al ken yazov ish. Again, when the Torah talks about adultery, the Torah is focusing on the man, not the woman. So, again, the Gemara dismisses that as well. The Torah says, they're going to be unified, man and woman together. So that means that the issur of adultery is both on the man and on the woman as well. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan. Ish matamalam ish. The rabbi says, Akusim shemazarim al arais ke Yisrael. When the Torah introduces us to the parsha of arais, the Torah uses the words ishish, the double language. We've already made this point a couple days ago in the daf. We're making it over here. A couple days ago, we were talking about it in terms of gidduf, blasphemy. Here, we're talking about it in terms of arais. And the Gemara is saying over here that the non-Jews are also included in the issur of arais. Okay, so. The Gemara is bothered by a very simple question. What do you mean? How come we're learning out the Issa arise by the Noahides from the parsha of Achremos? It's already been legislated for them. Mehasam Nafka Lamor Zegilu arise. Remember, just a couple days ago, we had the pasuk in the second parak of Bereishis, and we darshan every word. One of the words we darshan was Lamor, and Lamor is a reference to arayos. So. Arise was already legislated to the Bnei Noach. What is coming to be added with the words Ishish? So, Hasam be'arayis didu, v'achabarayis didan. So, the Gemara gives a really interesting answer. Look, when it comes to Arayos, so you have to look at Arayos from their standpoint and from our standpoint. Meaning that before there were Jews, so what was adultery? Adultery is very simple. Meaning, if a man and woman are married, and then she had an extramarital relationship, so that's adultery. But you see, once they're now Jewish people, it becomes more complicated. Why? Because let's say a non-Jewish man, a Noachide man, were to have adultery with a married Jewish woman. So why is it more complicated? A, because we have more sophistication in terms of how to get married. In other words, our marriage, Jewish marriage, comes in stages. Eris and Nisuin, there are two stages. Even Nisuin is complicated by the fact that we have this idea called chuppah. They don't have this idea of chuppah. So the way we get married is a more sophisticated manner of getting married. And furthermore, the method of punishment. Meaning if a Jew were to commit adultery, what would be the punishment? Chenek, strangulation. If a non-Jew committed adultery, what's the punishment? Again, there is the opinion of Tanna d'Bei Menashe, which is that it's also chenek. But the accepted viewpoint is that it's saif. It's the death through decapitation. So if there was a adultery between a non-Jew and a Jew, obviously now it becomes much more complicated. Our marriage system is more sophisticated, and the method of capital punishment is also going to be different. So basically now, this is what we're learning out with the extra ish. It's coming to tell us what happens if there's a case of adultery between a non-Jew and a Jew. Diktani, the Gemara, I'm reading on the Gemara. Diktani say, Fabala Rais Yisrael, Nidon B'dina Yisrael, B'dina Yisrael. So the end of the Braisa makes exactly this point. That if a non-Jew were to commit adultery with a Jewish woman, so how is he going to be judged according to Jewish law? The Gemara goes on to explain. Lamai hilchasa. Let's be more specific. So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Bravul, Nitzruchel ala Eda ve'Eda v'Asra. So the Gemara makes the following suggestion. If a non-Jewish man commits adultery with a Jewish woman, so how is he going to be tried? So in other words, he's going to be tried like a Jew, which is that you need a court of 23, you need two witnesses, you need a warning. The Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, it can't be. Migra Gara, the Gemara dismisses this with two words. In other words, what? That doesn't make any sense. Meaning, because he had adultery with a Jewish woman, so therefore now, it's going to be harder to convict him? That doesn't make sense. Meaning, if he had adultery with a non-Jewish woman, a non-Jewish married woman, so for him, it would be one judge, one witness, no warning. And now because he had adultery with a Jewish woman, so now everything is going to be ratcheted up in terms of the requirement of the Beis Din, and it'll be harder to convict him. The Gemara says that can't be. Gemara dismisses that as a suggestion. So the Gemara says like this, exactly. Nara Murasa. Again, like I said a moment ago, our marriage is much more sophisticated. We get married through two stages, Eris and Nisuin. In other words, from the Noahide standpoint, there's no such thing as Erisin. So, right, obviously we're not justifying, but if a Noachide man would have relations with a woman who just went through stage one of marriage, so from his standpoint, like, there's no such concept of this as it relates to the Noachides. So you could have made the argument and said, okay, so for him it's not adultery. And what the Gemara is pointing out is, no, it is adultery. In other words, because from our standpoint, she is a married woman, having undergone the first stage of marriage, Erison, she is a married woman. So now when the Noachide has relations with her, that is considered adultery. That's what's learning out from the extra Ishish.
How is he judged?
And that part's interesting. Meaning he's going to be judged like a Noachide, meaning with one judge and one witness and no warning, et cetera, et cetera. But he's going to be judged. Meaning, but at the same time, however, it is still a capital crime. It's still adultery.
Because
she's a married woman and because she underwent the first stage of marriage, she's married. And if then him having relations with her is considered adultery. That's exactly the point of the Gemara. He'll be judged. That's a good question. He's going to be judged based on his justice system, which results in Saif. Even though had it been a Jew, it would have been a Chenek. Aval Eishasish bedina ditu daidina lehu. So the Gemara says, now if it's a fully married woman, so then he'll be judged based on his system. V'atanya bal nara amaras nidam b'skila. The Gemara quotes a Braisa. The Braisa says that if a man has relations with Nara Amarasa, a Noachide has relations with the Nara Amarasa, Nidom Meskila, Aleishas Ish Nidom Mechenek. So, and if he has relations with a married woman, so he's going to get strangled. V'i B'dina Didu, Saif, who? So the Gemara says now, if he's judged based on his system, so he's going to get Saif. Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, my Eishas Ish Tiktani Kigon Shenichnas L'Chupa, V'lo Nivala. So the Gemara says, yeah, you know what the Braisa is talking about? The Braisa is talking about the following scenario. The woman went through both stages of marriage. Again, it's a Jewish married woman. She went through both stages of marriage. She went through Erisin and she went through the second stage of marriage. Right? We call that Nisuin. It could also be called Chuppah. The Gemara here calls it Chuppah. So now, two stages of marriage. Even before having relations with her husband now, she is, from our standpoint, a fully married woman. Again, compare that to a Noachide. For a Noachide, what establishes a marriage? Relations. That's it. Relations is the only thing that establishes marriage for them. So once again, here we are at the same point we were earlier, making the same point that we made earlier, but just another example. Our marriage is just simply more sophisticated. We have Erusin. We have Nisuin. So from our standpoint now, they are fully married, even though they didn't have relations yet. They're fully married. From his standpoint, she's not a married woman. She didn't have relations with her husband yet. So again, that's exactly the point that the Gemara is making before, but now just making it again in this scenario. So he's going to be tried like a Jew. So the Gemara says, "Velo nivalo dili didu leislahu." So in other words, from his standpoint, from Noachide law, that is not considered a marriage. From our standpoint, she is married. So therefore, dain lahu bedina didan. Therefore, he's going to be judged based on our system. And that means then that, again, in terms of the actual court itself, it's going to look like a Noachide court. One judge, one witness, et cetera, et cetera. In terms of how he's going to be put to death, so he'll be put to death through Chenek, not through Saif. Why? Because again, Saif only is that from his standpoint, she was a married woman. From his standpoint, she was not a married woman. From our standpoint, she is a married woman, so therefore he's going to be judged based on our terms, which means that he's going to be receiving Chenek, not Saif. Didni Rabbi Chanina Bulas Bal Yeshlem Nichlas Chupah Velo Nivala Ein Lahem, and the Gemara quotes the Braisa Rabbi Chanina, meaning of the point that I made already before, but now we're going to make it again. They only know from one way to accomplish marriage, and that is through Bia. That's the only recognized way that a Noachai gets married is through Bia. So they don't even hold of Chupah. Okay, Tanya Kavasi de Rav Yochanan. Okay, so now here we go. Okay, so where do we stand right now in the Gemara? Just a quick recap. So we have now learned together that a court system for the Noachides is going to look a lot more bare bones than ours. One judge, one witness, no warning. And for capital crimes, they're always going to get be put to death by Saif. Again, Tan de Bei Menashe disagrees. He says they're going to get put to death through Chenek, but that's because he darshens the psukim differently. Okay, and then what we just learned together is adultery. So adultery becomes interesting when a a Noachide man has relations with a Jewish married woman. And could be that under a number of circumstances, we just went through both of them, she'll be from our perspective married and from his perspective not married. Right? Because again, for them marriage is only Bia. That's the only thing that creates marriage between Noachides. From our perspective, what creates a marriage? Erusin, Chuppah, right? Things they don't know about. So in the event that a Noachide man were to have relations, an adulterous relation with a Jewish woman who only went through Erusin or who only went through Chuppah but didn't have actual relations with her husband yet, so is it adultery? The answer is unequivocally yes, that is adultery. How is he going to be tried? So because there are no laws on his books that cover this adulterous relationship, so therefore now he's going to have to face adultery charges based on our books. So then, in other words, his method of execution is going to be different. For Nara Maras, he's going to be given Skila. For a Nesua, he's going to be given Chenek. He's not going to be given Saif. Okay, that's what we just learned together in the Gemara. And now, admittedly, from this point forward, for today's daf, it's going to get complicated. In other words, these are one of these dafim that it's just a tricky daf to get through. I will try my best to be as clear in presenting this daf as possible. But just everyone, you got to get maximum effort for today. maximum effort. Okay. Tanya Kavase de Rav Yochanan. The Gemara now is going to quote a brisa supporting Rav Yochanan. The brisa reads as follows. Kol erva shebeisin sheyishol memisim alav. Before I even start reading this brisa, here's basically what we're looking at. Okay. We now know together, after having gone through a couple days of Noachide law, that for Noachide, he has Arias. Well, Arias is one of the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. So that means that he's not allowed to marry certain relationships. Okay. Here's what we could say, what I could say really simply. Our list is a much more comprehensive list than their list. Our list, what is our list? Very simple. Open up the Chumash. Open up to chapters 18 and 20 of Sefer Vayikra, and you'll learn our list. Okay? Included in our list are siblings, sisters, aunts, mother-in-law, daughter-in-law, daughters, right? I'm not going to go through the whole list right now. Okay? Our list, right, you're right. See the Torah, okay, for our list. Our list is a very expansive list. They also have a list. Here's what I could say flatly. Their list is a shorter list. Okay? I could say that flatly. Exactly what's included in their list, that is what we're going to be discussing for the duration of today. Okay? And what makes it complicated is that there are multiple opinions on this. What also makes it complicated is that Rav Meir himself brings in two different versions of what he himself says. What the Gemara later on will point out that Rav Meir is crossing himself, for sure, but Rav Meir had multiple Rebbeim, and so when we see the different opinions of Rav Meir, really what we're seeing are the multiple opinions of his Rebbeim. And by the end of today, admittedly, we will all be a little bit confused in terms of what their list of Arias actually includes. I'll bring in, I know Hedy, this will be of great interest to you. Tomorrow I'll bring in the Rambam, I'll read the Rambam. The Rambam very succinctly writes a list of what are Arias for a non-Jew. But right now we're just doing it from the standpoint of the Gemara, and the Gemara now is going to be giving us the list of relationships that are usher to a non-Jew. One other word of introduction before I begin also as well. Okay, from our perspective, our list of Arias, not all the punishments are the same. Okay. In other words, this is just good information to know. First of all, it's part of Torah, so we need to know it. But on top of that also, just to appreciate and understand our Gemara today, so you have to know which arise for us are just Karis crimes. When I say just Karis, I'm obviously speaking in relative terms. Karis is a really serious offense. But which are just Karis crimes and which are actual capital crimes, meaning taking the base and you're going to be put to death. So for example, man has relations with his daughter, that's a capital crime. Man has relations with his sister, that's Karis, not a capital crime. Okay, so, and it's important to know, right, what's a capital crime versus what is a Karis crime. Why is it important to know that? Again, in of itself, you have to know that. But on top of that also, you'll understand and appreciate the breisa that we're about to learn together. Here we go. Tana Rabbanan. All right, Tanya Kavase de Rav Yochanan. The breisa supporting Rav Yochanan, and here we begin. Kol erva shebeisin sheyisol memisim alein benoach muzar ala ein beisin sheyisol memisim ala ein benoach muzar ala de Rav Meir. So in this brisa, the Rav Meir here is quoted as the following. Here is the guideline of whether or not a relative is usher from a benoach standpoint. If for us it would be a capital crime, for a Benoch it would be part of the Arayas list. If for us it's not a capital crime, then for the Benoach it is not going to make it to their list. So for example, a sister. A man having relations with a sister is not a capital crime. It's Arayas, it's Kares, but it's not a capital crime. So that means that according to Rav Meir in this Braisa, a Noachide would be allowed to marry a sister. Okay. Again, I know that sounds strange. I know it sounds a little unusual. But again, we're just speaking from a strictly legal standpoint. It's not an erva according to this Braisa, according to Rav Meir within this Braisa. V'chachamim omrim, harbe arayis yesh, shein beisin en shei Yisrael memesim aleim, u'benach muzar aleim. And according to the Chachamim, no. Their list of arayis is more expansive. Even though for us it's not a capital crime, like for example, again, like your sister, nevertheless, it would be included in Ben Noach list of arayis. Ba'al arayis Yisrael, nidon bedin Yisrael. If the Ben Noach were to have relations with Ervas Yisrael, he's going to be treated based on our books. Ba'al arayis Ben Noach, nidon bedin Ben Noach. If he had relations with a Ben Noach, he's going to be treated with their books. V'anu ein lanu ela nara marasa bovad. An example of that would be nara marasa, meaning again, like we said earlier, and this is why we're quoting the Braisa right now. We're quoting the Braisa right now because if a Noachide man were to have an adulterous relationship with a nara hamarasa, so again, he doesn't have that on his books. We have it on our books. Again, his books has a single definition of marriage, bia. She didn't have bia with her husband yet. So from his standpoint, she's not a married woman. Okay, but from our standpoint, she is a married woman. So now, how is he going to be tried? Based on our books, which means that if she's an Ara Marasa, she's going to be put, the death penalty would be Skila. This Noachide would be executed through Skila. Now, so the Gemara says, okay, good. Now we just learned the Braisa together. And again, the whole purpose right now to quote this Braisa is just to make the point that if he committed adultery with a married woman that from our perspective is married, from his perspective is not married, it is considered adultery. Gemara just wants to know, what about that other example that we gave, where she underwent the second stage of marriage chuppah, but she didn't have relations yet. So again, from our standpoint, she's married. And not only is she married, she's fully married. From their standpoint, not married. So, but that's another excellent example where that would be an example of it is adultery. And because it's not on his books, so therefore he's going to be tried based on our books. So the Gemara says, Haitana, Tana de Ben Menashu, Damar Kol Misa, Amur Levinei Noach, Eino Ela Chenek, Idiv Ena Chenekhu. The Gemara gives a really technical answer, and that is, the author of this particular Bryce says, Tana de Ben Menashe. Tana de Ben Menashe says that the punishment for a Noachide is strangulation, not Saif. Again, we don't paskin like that. But that's the author of this Braisa. And therefore, from the Braisa standpoint, so once a woman underwent both stages of marriage, Eris and Nisuin, so for her now, adultery would be meted with a chenek punishment. A Ben Noach always gets chenek. So therefore, there is no difference between their books and our books. It's going to be the same. That's why the Braisa didn't give that as an example. Okay. Now, where are we right now in terms of the Gemara? First of all, geographically, we are on the bottom of Nizayin Amud Beis. Where are we in terms of the opinion of Rav Meir? So let's just wrap our head around what we just learned together according to Rav Meir. According to Rav Meir, what makes a list of arayis for Ben Noach? If for us it's a capital crime, again, examples, a daughter, a mother-in-law, a daughter-in-law. If for us it's a capital crime, a stepmother, right, your father's wife. If for us it's a capital crime, that makes it to the list of arayis for Ben Noach. If for us it's just a courage-bearing penalty, so then that does not make it to the list of the Ben Noach. That is what we just learned together according to Rav Meir. The Gemara now is going to point out that Rav Meir is crossing himself, at least that's what it seems, just of Rav Meir. The Gemara now quotes another Braisa, and the Braisa goes like this. Okay, now, the Braisa starts off really complicated. Okay, I'm going to read the Braisa. Obviously, I'm going to explain the Braisa. Do me a favor. Ignore. I don't really mean ignore. But I'll say it anyway. Ignore the beginning of the Braisa where it talks about a partial conversion. Because the Braisa here is making a very specific point, a super specific point. I'll quote the Rashi later on this morning where Rashi is illustrating exactly what the point the Gemara is trying to make. But for our purposes right now, where we should be focused on, all our mental energy should be focused on right now, the fact that in this Brice of Rameir has a different list of arise for Ben Noach than the one that we just learned together. That's where our mental energy should be expended on right now. That's what we should be focusing on right now. V'atayin, the Gemara quotes the following Brice, so we're now turning to the top of Nun Ches Amad Aleph. Ger, Shahaisa, Arasa, Shalob, Bigdusha, V'leidasa, Bigdusha. I have a convert who was conceived where mom was not Jewish. And then after conception, mom went to the mikvah, and now that tefillah b'mikvah is going to be effective to convert both her and her fetus as well. Okay. Again, I'm telling you right now, that's a detail, it's an important detail, but for our purposes right now, let's just say nice and simply, this fetus is a convert. He's a convert. Now, what do we know regarding a convert? Here's what we know. We all know together that when you have a convert, all of his family members are not family members. Biologically, family. Halachically, not family. He's a born again, right? Gersh and Isgar Kakana Nola Dami. So anytime you have a convert, when they come into this world as a convert, so now all their family members halachically are not family members. That would mean that technically he'd be allowed to marry his mother. Okay? Right? It's obviously it'd be strange, but again, if you're following, it would be allowed. However, here's what the Chachamim said. The Chachamim said, you know what? If this convert, after converting, married his mother, so basically, here's what the perception is. You know, before he converted, he wasn't allowed to, right? And now after the conversion, he's allowed to. And then what people are going to say, maybe even the convert himself, oh, you know what? This Judaism, it's really easy. It's a breeze. Meaning, and look, I went from a position where I wasn't allowed to marry my mother, and now after I convert, I'm allowed to marry my mother. So the Chachamim say, we don't want that perception to exist. Therefore, the Chachamim placed the following ban on all converts. Once they convert, all the people that were prohibited before his conversion remain prohibited as a rabbinic ban. Because we don't want people or the convert to say, Banu mi kedusha chamur le kedusha kala. We went from being a Noachite to now being a Jew, and it's easier, right? We don't want that perception to exist. So therefore, the rabbi slapped a ban on all converts that they're not allowed to marry anyone who they were not allowed to marry before the conversion. Okay, again, those are the ABCs. Those are the basics. In other words, you just have to understand that principle in order to appreciate now and understand. So now, with all that stated, so what are we going to be learning together now in this brisa? Who was the Noachite not allowed to marry before he converted? Whoever he was not allowed to marry before he converted is now going to remain usur even after the conversion. So far, so good. So now here's the list. Yesh lo she'er ha'em, ve'ein lo she'er ha'av. So first of all, the list is going to be biological. Meaning, any woman who is related to him through marriage, not even in the air of a discussion. I said that very flatly, as if it's absolute. It's an absolute. It's mostly true what I just said. Right now, we're looking strictly now at blood relatives. Blood relatives obviously would mean his sister, his aunt. So now, yesh lo shera im v'ein lo shera av. So let's say, for example, that it's a blood relative through the mother. So that is considered an erva. A blood relative through the father is not considered an erva, and you'd be allowed to marry her. So haketzad, let's go. Examples. Haketzad, nasa achos minaim, yotzi. So let's say he married his maternal sister. No good. In other words, we say to the convert, look, you weren't allowed to marry her before conversion. You're not allowed to keep her as a wife even after conversion. Yotzi. Okay, so you have to divorce her. Huh? The Amud Beis. Stay tuned. Min ha'av yikayim. Now, what about a paternal sister? Okay. A Noachad is allowed, after conversion, is allowed to marry a paternal sister. The word yikayim, by the way, you get the sense, and at the end of the brisa, you're certainly going to get the sense, it is not recommended. Meaning that even though technically now, as a Noachad, he was allowed to marry her, post-conversion, he's also allowed to marry her, but it's not recommended. Not lechazchila. But again, as a Noachai, they were allowed to be married. So in other words, post-conversion, so he doesn't have to divorce her. Achos ha'av minayim, yotzi. An aunt, let's say your father's sister, but it's your father's paternal sister. No. It's your father's, it didn't sound right coming out of my mouth. It's not right. Let me correct. Your father's maternal sister. So Yotzi. Again, it is a blood relative, the blood relationship is through the mom. That's an erva. No good. Min ha'av yikayim. A father's paternal sister, and in other words, they only share a father, not a mother, yikayim. That's okay. Achos ha'im min ha'im yotzi. If it is your mother's sister, your mother's maternal sister, no good. Achos ha'im min ha'av. Now, what if it's your mother's paternal sister? So here, admittedly, hopefully your brain's hurting at this point in time. So here, if it's your mother's paternal sister, so now it's a little bit confusing, right? Because is it a blood relative through a mom? No. Meaning, even though it's your mother, but it's your mother's paternal sister. So it's not a blood relative through the mother. So technically speaking, it should be okay. Rameir Omer Yotzev Echacham Omer Mikayim. Rameir says, the marriage is not to sustain, meaning he should divorce her. And again, the reason why he explains Rashi over here is simply because here at this point in time now, it's just way too confusing. Because it is your mother's sister. So now, from a perception of people, is that a maternal relationship? Well, again, the answer is technically no, because it's your mother's paternal sister. So she is not related to you via a woman. She's related to you only via a man. So technically speaking, is it a maternal relationship? No. But because it's your mother, and because it's your mother's sister, it's just simply so confusing. Rameir says, don't keep her as a wife. However, the Chachamim say Yikayim, because again, from the Chachamim standpoint, the threshold of who is an erva to a Noachide, a blood maternal relationship. Shahayir Rameir Omer, kol erva shi mishum sher aim, yotzi, mishum sher av, Yikayim. Rameir says that as long as it is a blood relationship through a mother, so then a Noachide is prohibited. Therefore, post conversion, you have to divorce her. Umutr be'eshes achiv uve'eshes achi aviv. Vishar kol arayas mutar slo. One would be allowed to marry, as this convert, one would be allowed to marry his brother's wife, obviously his brother's ex-wife, his uncle's ex-wife, in other words, because as a Noachide, they were not prohibited to him. And all the other arayas would be mutar lasui eshes aviv. He'd be allowed to marry his father's wife, again, father's ex-wife, obviously, not his mother, obviously, because again, that a Noachide would be allowed to marry, so the convert also would be allowed to marry as well. Now, if he's married to a mother and a daughter, so as a Noachide, that would have been okay. Now he comes into the conversion, so those, the Beis Din, who is handling this conversion, say, look, I'm really sorry, but you can't come to Judaism with both wives, meaning both both the mother and the mother's daughter. In other words, you can't come into Judaism that way, and so you're going to have to make a choice. Okay, and you're going to have to choose one of those two. Oh, lechatchil lo yichnos. Now Rashi over here points out that this line of the Brisa, lechatchil lo yichnos, is talking to specifically the convert. We say to the convert, look, as a Noachide, these are all the, we just give the list of women who you're allowed to marry, and therefore post conversion, if you marry these women, okay. But lechatchila, look, you're a Jew right now, you're a convert. And even though technically you're allowed to marry these women that we just outlined, again, women who are not related, blood related to him through the matrilineal line. So even though technically you are allowed to marry them, but we're just advising, don't do it. L'chatchila shouldn't do it. Mesa ishto mutar b'chamoso, if his wife dies, he's allowed to marry his mother-in-law. Again, l'chatchila means that
when he's a Jew.
Yeah.
But there's no
lechatchila. Well, no, lechatchila means is that, look, the rabbi should, in other words, the rabbi knows our Gemara, the rabbi knows the Gemara in Yevamos. The rabbi knows that, technically speaking, he's allowed to marry his aunt. He's allowed to. And again, his paternal aunt.
No, when it comes to get married, lechatchila, the rabbi said this is not
allowed. Right, I understand. But he found someone to marry him. Okay. So you're right. In other words, the rabbi officiating should say from the very beginning, don't do it.
Yes.
Agreed. Okay. Mesi ishto mutar b'chamoso, if his wife died, so he's not allowed to marry his mother-in-law. Vigadami asa b'chamoso, and some say he's not allowed to marry his mother-in-law. Again, Not for now. Rashi points out the Gemara in Yevamos discusses this machlokus. We're not discussing that point right now. Where are we right now? And again, I told you, this part's going to be tricky because there were a lot of things thrown at us. Conversion, post-conversion, banu mekdusha kala lekdusha. Sorry. Banu mekdusha chamur lekdusha kala. A lot of things were thrown at us. What we should be focusing on right now, all of our mental energy should be on the following. Previously, we said that according to Rav Meir, for a Noachide, who makes the list for Arayos? It's very simple. The threshold is, if for us it's a capital crime, for the Ben Noach it's an Erva. What we just learned together, however, in this Brisa, as complicated as this Brisa is that there's a lot more women that made the cut in terms of who's an Erva. Notably, all blood relationships through mom, through a mother, meaning his maternal sister, his maternal aunt. And when I say maternal aunt, again, I know this part's a little bit complicated, but it means that the aunt who is a sibling to either mother or father through a mother. If you have a maternal aunt, if you have a maternal sister, so that is usher to a Noachide. That is not like the Reb Meir that we saw in the previous Brisa. Because in the previous Brisa, only those things which are capital punishments are subject to Erva for a Noachide. A sister is not a capital crime. A sister is only an Issur Kares. So what we have right now is a stira between Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Meir. The Gemara's answer, it's not an elegant answer, but it is the answer. Am Rav Yehuda Lokasha. We are right in the middle of Nun Chesam and Aleph. Not right in the middle, a little bit above that. Am Rav Yehuda Lokasha, Rebbe Meir Aliba de Rebbe Lezer, Rebbe Meir Aliba de Rebbe Akiva. So the Gemara notes that Rebbe Meir had multiple Rebbeim. He had Rebbe Eliezer and Rebbe Kiva. And if you remember earlier in the Masechta, he had another Rebbe as well, Rebbe Yehuda ben Bava, who actually Rebbe Yehuda ben Bava gave him smicha. Rebbe Kiva gave Rebbe Meir smicha. Rebbe Yehuda ben Bava also then subsequently gave Rebbe Meir smicha. Rebbe Meir got smicha twice.
He also had Acher, no?
And he also learned with Acher. Remember, right? He also learned with Elisha ben Avuya. And we're learning that another Rebbe that he had was Rebbe Eliezer. Okay. Interesting life of Rebbe Meir. Anyway, for our purposes right now, here's how we resolve the stira. There's no resolution. Rebbe Meir is just espousing the viewpoints of his various Rebbeim, Ditanya. And here we now go with another Brisa.
Why didn't you mention my name, saying in the name of, like, Rebbe Akiva or...
He changed
his mind.
That's not what... I hear you, but that... The Gemara knows about this machlokus between Rebbe Akiva and Rebbe Eliezer. It's really the most logical answer. Once you have all the facts in front of you, it's the most logical answer. Okay, the time the Gemara quotes the Brisa. Al ken yazov isha saviv esimo. So again, we're now back in Brachos. And the pasuk here is describing how the nature of a man is that he's going to leave his parents and he's going to be married, right? Which is normal. That's what's supposed to happen. But what we're now doing is we are just looking at this pasuk from a strict legal standpoint. And from this pasuk, we're learning out what would make the list of arayos for a ben Noach? Rebbe Eliezer Omer Aviv. Now here he's leaving his mother and his father, which means that mom and dad are prohibited. When the Torah says Aviv and Imo, what is the Torah describing? So according to Rebbe Eliezer, Aviv Achos Aviv, Imo Achos Imo. Rebbe Eliezer says Aviv means dad's sister, and Imo means mom's sister. We'll explain that better in just a moment. Rebbe Kiva Omer, Rebbe Kiva says no. Aviv Eishas Aviv. Rebbe Kiva says that Aviv means dad's wife. And Imo, Imo Mamish. And Mam means his actual mother. Okay. Now this Machlokis we'll explain better in just a moment. But let's continue. V'davak v'lo bezachar. Dveikus means that a Noachide has to cling to his wife, meaning that incorporated in this idea of clinging to his wife is that there be another union that does not have dveikus, that would be prohibited. Notably, mishkav zachor, meaning homosexuality is part of Noachad law. Be'ishto v'lo be'eshes chavero, adultery also is prohibited. Vayula basar achad, mishinasim basar achad. That, and the Torah, when describing intimacy between a man and a woman, describes it where they become one entity. Yatsu behema v'chai she'inasim basar achad. But however, a man having relations with an animal cannot create one entity, meaning, well, it could mean a couple of things, but I think the simplest way to say the Gemara is that they cannot produce a child, and so therefore that's going to be prohibited. So, I'll work backwards, by the way, in this verse we just learned together. According to everyone, bestiality, homosexuality, adultery. Those are all part of the arayas. What is subject for a debate in terms of all? Oh, I'm sorry. Those are. Let me finish that sentence correctly. Those are all part of the arayas when it comes to Ben Noach. These are all part of the arayas Noachide laws, according to everybody. What is, however, open for a debate is which blood relatives. So we had a machlokas here in this brisa between Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva. Now, according to Rabbi Akiva, what makes a list of blood relatives? When it says imo, it means imo mamish. When it says aviv, it means your wife's, your father's wife. That is aviv and imo according to Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Eliezer, when it says aviv and imo, it means your mother and your father's siblings, meaning mom's sister and dad's sister. So what we just learned together is a basic machlokes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer, which blood relatives are making the cut for the arayos of a ben Noach. Now that we know all this, so now when we go back and we review the two opinions of Rav Meir, the one expressed on the bottom of Nun Zayin Amud Beis, the one that's expressed on the top of Nun Ches Amud Aleph, they're at odds with one another. One is really a reflection of Rabbi Akiva, and the other is a reflection of Rabbi Eliezer. The one on the top of the Amud that talks, that describes blood relatives, excuse me, blood relatives, notably siblings, so, but also, siblings, that's espousing the viewpoint of Rabbi Eliezer. The previous brisa that says it's not a function of siblings, it's a function of whatever is a capital crime, that's the viewpoint of Rabbi Akiva. Okay, let's continue now in the Gemara. So as long as we introduce ourselves to this machlokas of Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara now is going to try to flesh it out. Here we go. Okay, Amar. Rabbi Eliezer Amar Aviv Achos Aviv. When the Torah says that a man, again a Noachide, leaves his father, father means his father's sister. So the Gemara says, Ema Aviv Mamish. Well, maybe what the Torah is prohibiting is for a man, a Noachide, to have relations with his father. So Hainu V'Davik V'Lo B'Zachar. The Gemara says, yeah, but that already was explained. Meaning we already know that homosexuality is also for Noachides. So there doesn't need to be now a separate prohibition for a Noachide to have relations with his father. That's included in Mishkav Zachar. Ema Eishas Aviv. So the Gemara says, what about his father's wife? So the Gemara says, Hainu B'Shtov V'Lo B'Eishas Chaver. The Gemara says, that's adultery. Ema La'achar Misa. The Gemara says, well, maybe his father's wife after divorce or after death. Dumya Di'imo. Ma Imo De'Lav Eishas. Av Aviv Delav Ish. The Gemara says, well, Rabbi Eliezer liked the consistency. Meaning that when we're describing mom, so we said that mom didn't mean mom literally, it meant the sibling of mom. So when the Torah says dad, we like the consistency of it being describing not the wife of dad, but rather the sibling of dad. Imo, achos imo. Now we turn to the other parent, and that's mom. So what do we say? Mom is mom's sibling. Again, this is according to Rabbi Eliezer. So ve'ema ima mamish, what about mom? So hainu b'ishto, v'lo b'ishas chaver. The Gemara says, well, that's adultery. Ve'ema la'achra misa. So the Gemara says, well, maybe it's after dad died. Dumya da'aviv. The Gemara says, no. Because we, again, Rabbi Eliezer loved the parallel of mom and dad. When it said dad, it means dad's sibling. So when it says mom, it means mom's sibling. The Gemara makes exactly that point. Ma'aviv da'lav mamish, afimo da'lav mamish. Okay. So that is all Rabbi Eliezer and how he explains aviv ima. Now we turn to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva Omer Aviv Eishas Aviv Eima Aviv Mamish. Maybe dad means dad literally. Hainu V'Davik V'Lo B'Zachar. The Gemara says no, because that's already prohibited through Mishkav Zachar. Ihachi Eishas Aviv Nami Hainu B'Ishto V'Lo B'Eishas Chavero. The Gemara says, what about dad's wife? In other words, isn't that adultery? L'Achar Misa. The Gemara says, no. I mean, yes, it is adultery, but after dad dies, it's no longer adultery. So that's why the Torah has to outline that for the Ben Noach, he's not allowed to be with his father's wife, even after dad dies. Imo, imo mamish. Now, according to Rabbi Akiva, mom means mom literally. Hainu b'ishto v'lo b'ishas chaver. The Gemara says, well, what do you mean? If it's mom married to dad, that's adultery. The Gemara says, imo manisa so. Not necessarily, says the Gemara. It could very well be that he was a child out of wedlock. Okay. Now, the Gemara says, now what is the machlokus between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Eliezer in terms of how they interpret the pasuk of Aviv Imo, Al-Kain Yazov Ish as Aviv Es Imo? Gemara goes on to explain, Rabbi Eliezer Savar, top of Nun Ches Amud Beis, Rabbi Eliezer Savar, Aviv Domi Di Imo, Vi Imo Domi Da Aviv. Again, Rabbi Lazar loved the parallel. In other words, when the Torah is describing mom and dad, he's looking for a scenario where it would be a consistent pattern of both mom and dad. The only way to describe it would be the sibling of mom and the sibling of dad. And Rabbi Kiva's mutav le'uk maybe ish be'eshes aviv de'ikrei ervas aviv. So, and Rabbi Kiva says no. I'd much rather explain dad referring to not dad's sister but dad's wife. That is a more that is a more true expression of ervas aviv, your father's erva. La'fuki achos aviv de'she'er aviv ikrei. If we were talking about dad's sibling, that's not really Ervas Aviv, that's She'er Aviv. That's a blood relative. Ervas Aviv lo ikri, but it's not referred to as Ervas Aviv. Okay, Ad Kan. All right, where are we in the Gemara right now? So admittedly, I told you. Today's daf is complicated. Basically, to tell you what the topic of today's daf is, that's really simple. What is included in the Arayas of Noach Ha'ilo? Arayas is one of the Shev Mitzvahs B'nai Noach. What is included in that list of Arayas? So again, like I said in the beginning of the daf, I'm now going to say as we now approach the end of it, but got to the end of today's shir. What we could say definitively is, it is not as comprehensive as our list. Our list is more comprehensive. Again, open up to Parakim, Yudches, and Chaf, and Sefer Vayikra, and you will learn our list. Their list is going to be reduced. Where exactly is the point of reduction? So that is what we saw over the course of today's daf. Meaning daf, Nunches, and Sanhedrin is looking at the modified list of arayos for the Ben Noach. According to Rav Meir, well, that's hard to say. Rav Meir gave us two viewpoints. He gave us a viewpoint in a brayse on the bottom of Nun Zayin Amud Beis. He gave us a viewpoint on the brayse on the top of Nun Ches Amud Aleph. And the Gemara notes that they are not inconsistent. They are inconsistent with one another. And to which the Gemara is saying, yes, they are. But that's by virtue of the fact that Rabbi Meir himself learned by two Rebbeim, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer. And it happens to be that in both prices, he's just simply espousing the two different viewpoints. According to Rabbi Eliezer, let's start there because that's easy. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the modified list of Arayas for a Ben Noach is basically blood relatives. But, I'll just modify that point, blood relatives through a mother. So in other words, your sister, maternal sister, your aunt, maternally, and I say maternally, I mean that she is either your father or your mother's sister, shared by the same mother. So that is going to be an erva according to Rabbi Eliezer. And when he reads the pasuk of Al Ken Yazov Ish Es Aviv Es Imo, the Aviv and Imo is referring to the siblings of your father and the siblings of your mother. Okay. Rabbi Kiva, on the other hand, says no. Rabbi Kiva says that when the Torah describes a mother, it means mom is your mother. And when the Torah describes your father, it means your father's wife. And basically, this is consistent with the brisa that we saw on the previous Amud, on the bottom of the previous Amud, that basically anything that for us would be a capital crime would make it to the list of arayos for a Noachide. That is Rabbi Kiva's viewpoint. He explains the pasuk in this vein. And so therefore, you have a difference of opinion between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Eliezer. What is arayos for the Noachides? Again, as I mentioned at the beginning of the shiur today, tomorrow I'll take out the Rambam, I'll read the Rambam together with all of us, and I'll see exactly how the Rambam, what is included in arayos for Noachides, according to the halacha.